أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. Brothers and sisters, first of all, I would like to thank you all, and especially the organizers, my young friends, brothers and sisters, for organizing this and inviting us. I will be speaking about the topic that was just announced, Ashura, the call to action. And I've subdivided this discussion into three or four parts. I'll begin with a riwayat that caught my attention this morning. It's really eye-opening, and I believe that talking about an issue like Karbala and Imam Hussain alayhi salam requires a major shift in paradigm for anyone. The tragedy itself was to shake the Ummah. For anyone to talk about Karbala, you cannot just take it lightly and discuss it like a story or something. It was a shock and an event that sent waves of shock into history. And it has caused revolutions and major changes across the globe, and it's continued to produce those changes. So after this riwayat, which I will just mention, I will briefly refer to a verse of Holy Quran and some reference to a hadith of the Holy Prophet regarding Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and I'll mention some reasons of the uprising of Imam alayhi salam, why he stood up, that is presented in a way that creates a similar obligation for us. So Imam Hussain was not an exception, rather he was just doing his duty. And but if that point registers in our mind, we will not be talking about Imam Hussain as a separate, as someone who had a different duty assigned to him which was not assigned to other people, rather as a person who was just doing his duty. And that all his followers, all people who remember and love Imam Hussain alayhi salam, have a similar duty in a situation like this, which is also there today. So a similar duty is established for a person who claims to follow the shakhsiyat and the personality of Imam al-Mazlum. With a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is a recently published book by the name Imamat and Mulukiyat by Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Hassan Zafar Nahoui, and has been translated into English. And just mentioning this one riwayat from it. Once God asked Prophet Musa in his conversation, "Hal amalta li amalan khalisan?" Did you do an action purely and sincerely for me? Prophet Musa replied, "I prayed for your sake, and I fasted for you, and I did tasbih and tahleel for you." Tasbih means, subhanallah, glorifying Allah. Tahleel means, la ilaha illallah. "I did all this for you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "As-salatu laka jawazun ala sirat, was-sawm as-sawmu laka jannatun min an-nar, at-tasbihu wat-tahleelu laka darajatun fil jannah." Allah said, "Prayers are your license to cross over the bridge of Sirat. Fasting is your shield from the fire. Tasbih and tahleel are your levels in paradise." Meaning to say that these actions are for your own benefit specifically. Right? Baka Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam started crying and weeping. Tears in his started flowing from his eyes. وَقَالَ رَبِّ دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَدٍ خَالِصٍ لَكَ. Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh God, guide me to what is considered by you to be an action purely and sincerely for you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Hal nasarta mazluman? هل كسوت عريانا؟ هل سقيت عطشانا؟ هل أكرمت عالما هذا لعمل خالص. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did you help any oppressed person? Did you clothe any bare person unable to buy clothes? Did you provide water to a thirsty? Did you respect a scholar? This is the action considered by me to be sincerely for me. For a person like Musa alayhi salam, Ulul Azam Nabi, it requires really a paradigm shift to see that I must come out of my own self. I must leave behind myself when I'm talking about God. When I'm saying, oh Allah, I'm serving you, I should know what I'm saying. And that is something our Imams knew. Because when Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he wanted to say labbaik, he couldn't say labbaik. You have all heard that. He wanted, Masjid Shajara, many of us have been there, he wanted to do the niyat of ihram, and he couldn't say labbaik. And people asked him, Yabna Rasulullah, you have to say labbaik. And the Imam said, what if I said labbaik and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said la labbaik? You are not ready to serve me. What would I say to that? So the understanding of the fact that we do not matter in comparing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do is nothing. Because actually it is, if it is something good, He has created that. So the credit goes to Him. And this is what every human being will discover at the point of death. That whatever good happened in his life or her life, actually was not his or her. It was His blessing, Allah's blessing. But whatever was wrong was His. Whatever bad thing happened in his life was because of him or her. So the goodness is all from Him. In Surah Mubarakah Tawbah, Ayat 111 talks about qital, fighting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has purchased from the believers their souls and their properties in return, in exchange of paradise. So what do they do to get paradise? يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They fight in the way of Allah. فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. They kill and they are killed. وَعَدَنَ عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا. It's a promise upon Allah. Allah said, binding upon me فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. And I have written this, documented this for all to see in the book of Torah, in the book of Evangel, Injil, and in the Quran. I have written this. And وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And who is more fulfilling, more you know, worthy of keeping His promise than Allah? Allah keeps His promise. So give yourself the glad tidings for this deal that has been made between you and God. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمْ. Give your, congratulate yourself for the deal that has been made between you and God. And this is a great, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. It's a high rank, great success. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, and this riwayat, Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, Allah, he quotes in Tafsir al-Namuna. He says, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari narrates, that when this verse was revealed, the Holy Prophet was in the mosque, he stood up and read out this verse loudly for all the people. And the people heard this and they all said, Allahu Akbar. One of the people of Medina, Ansar, one of the Ansars, he came up to the Prophet and with ta'ajjub, surprise, he said, is this a verse that was revealed by Allah upon you? And the Prophet said, yes, it's a verse that I have received. Allah has revealed on me. The person said, Bay'un Rabih, this is a profitable deal. profitable transaction. Right? لا نخيل ولا نستقيل. I'm not going to ikala. See, ikala in Arabic means like you sign it, make a deal, then you move out of it. You say, okay, I don't want it anymore. You know? Nastaqil is when the other person, other party comes to you and says, I want to nullify this. I don't want to go along with you on this deal, so let's finish it. The person said, this is a very profitable bay transaction. And I'm not going to break it. And if someone asks me, I will still not accept any violation of this deal. So what he was saying was, it's a deal. The person was smart. When he heard Allah says, you fight and you get Jannah, whatever. This person was smart. He said, this kind of deal, who will offer such a deal? And where else, where could I ever get such a deal? So he didn't want to waste a minute. And he got up and said, I accept. Now what's so valuable about this? That's what we need to understand. For every business deal, there are five elements. Seller, buyer, right? The thing being sold, price, and the document, the sanad al-muamala, you know, what written, what do you call it? Contract. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these five things in this verse. He says, I buy from you anfusahum wa amwalahum, your lives and your properties, all that you own. So that I buy that. I am the buyer. Who is the buyer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the buyer. And He is the creator. And He has given us life. He has given us everything that we own. He said, I'm going to buy it back from you. Against what? Paradise. Paradise is forever. Now what is human life worth, really? Omar, what is it worth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Human life is in loss. Human being is in loss. This life is worth nothing really. This alim was trying to understand, there's an alim, Ayatollah Nasir Makari mentions in tafsir, and alim was trying to understand why are we in loss? What kind of loss is that? We live, we learn a lot, we earn a lot of wealth and other things, so where's the loss? So one day on the street he saw a person selling ice. Old times, you know, everyone looks freezers and all those things. He was selling ice on the street. And he was saying, show some mercy on the person who is losing all his capital. Show mercy. To the person who is losing, rahm karo shakhs pe jo apna sarmaya sara luta raha hai. Yani my whole capital is melting away. Buy it from me. Human life is worth nothing. So he realized that Adam realized, oh, so human life is like ice melting away as time passes. It's worth nothing. Who will offer you a jannat for this life, which is worth nothing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the creator of this life. And I will give you a price no one can pay for this kind of, you know, commodity. So the fifth element was document. Allah said, I have written it down in the past scriptures and in this scripture. Right? So it's documented, here it is. Allah doesn't need to show us a document. He said, I've written it down. This contract has been made, it's been publicized. It's on record, and he says, who can be more fulfilling for his promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this, with this understanding, you should talk about Karbala really, at least with this much. The Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, and I'm quoting this from Hayatul Qulub, Allahumma Indisi, عَلَى اللَّهُ مَقَامُهُ. And he quotes from Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas said, 2 years after the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet went to a journey. He went. And somewhere on his way he stood and he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And people asked him, he started crying. People asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? The Holy Prophet said, this is Jibreel and he is telling me about a place near the bank of Euphrates, Nehre Furat. And he's telling me this is the place called Karbala. And this is where your son, my son, Hussein ibn Fatima, will be killed. So the companion said, who will kill your grandson? The Holy Prophet said, a person whose name is Yazid. And the Prophet said, I can see the place of the Qatlgah, the place of Hussein's Shahadat, that these people are taking his head as a hadiyah, as a gift. They are taking away the head of my son Hussein from Karbala. I can see that. By God, I swear to God, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever looks at the son of my, the head of my son, and his heart is joyous, is feeling any kind of joy from looking at this head of Hussein, Allah will separate his heart from his tongue forever. That means nifaq will be planted in the heart of a person who rejoices over the death of the shahadat of Hussein. So the Holy Prophet came back to Medina, he was very sad and he went on the minbar and advised the Muslims as he usually would do. And during that, this sermon of the Holy Prophet was very different from other sermons, because he had on the minbar along with him Hassan and Hussein sitting next to him, along with him on the minbar. And he raised his head to the sky and he said, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, I am your Abd and your Prophet that you sent, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the best of my roots and my progeny. Roots is from the past. Whatever has gone before me, these are the best of the lot. And this is the best of the future. Itrat and Zurriyat. And reach, past. And these are two things I am leaving behind along my, among my nation. Oh Lord, Jibreel has told me that he pointed to Hussein, and he said Hussein will be killed, and he will be left abandoned, he will be forsaken. Not just killed, he will be forsaken. Oh Allah, create barakat in the shahadat of Hussein. And make him among the Sayyid al-Shuhada, among the leaders of all martyrs. It is very important for us to know this prayer of Prophet, that he's asking Allah to make Hussein the Sarwar al-Shahida, the leader of all the martyrs. As you know, that the world and the media every hour is trying to create false role models. The Holy Prophet's prayer was answered because he was mustajab ud-da'wah. When he said, Oh Allah, Hussein should be the role model forever. For all the freedom seeking, for all the justice seeking people of the world, Hussein should be forever the role model. This prayer was granted by Allah. So whatever the world can do, spend billions and trillions of dollars, they can never change the role model set by Allah upon the people. Hussein alayhi salam will always be the role model for all justice seeking people of the world. Because oh Allah, you are capable, you have the power to do that. I ask you to make Hussein Sarwar Shahida. Oh Allah, whoever kills him and leaves him like that, take away all barakat from him. So the enemies of Imam Hussein today, in various shapes and forms and names, they they display their power and their whatever it is for an hour, for a day, for a few days. That's all it is. And they vanish. No one survives. No name can survive. No power can survive. No one can stand and try to remove the name of Hussein. The name of Hussein shines. And it's just like the sun. No one can deny the presence of that. When the Holy Prophet made this speech, he gave this speech, Masjid was full of tears. Everyone was crying. The Prophet saw this and he said, He said, you will cry, but you will not support Hussein. O Allah, you be the wali and the yawar of Hussein, supporter of Hussein. The Prophet said, you cry, but you will not support Hussein. It has a message for us. It's very important. When you hear about oppression, when you hear about zulm, whether it's a zulm of Karbala, or a zulm in Parachanar, or zulm in Iraq, or zulm somewhere else, right? Any injustice. You can react in different ways. A lot of people, many people react by just tears. They cry, like they hear about Karbala. The way Karbala is presented to us, usually, people just cry, right? And I will speak about it a little bit more. People of Kufa were crying when they saw the caravan of Asiran, you know, the prisoners, the captives were being passed through the marketplace in Kufa. People of Kufa were all crying. Sayyid al-Sajidin alayhi salam said, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam said, you are crying, then who killed us? That means even the criminal can cry. Even the person committing a crime can cry. So, when you hear about oppression, your response should not be just crying. That's why in Urdu language also they say gham o ghussa. There should be grief and anger, resentment. And these two combined make you act, take an action, do something about it. Crying is just like relieving that frustration for yourself. You don't want to help anybody, it's just you are serving your own purpose. It's not a sign of sincerity or really support for the oppressed. It's just a sign of showing this, that I cannot deal with this pain, this is too much, tears are flowing, okay, let me, and then you feel better, oh, it's better now. Sometimes it's like that. So to avoid this, a person should feel anger. Of course, anger will be towards the enemies. And the tears, the grief is for the oppressed. Combined with sincerity, khulus, then a person says, okay, what should I do about this? I must do something to help the oppressed and to protest against the oppressors. That feeling is genuine. Now, with this a little bit more, I just mentioned that the way Karbala is presented, I want to really elaborate that a little bit more. The tragedy of Karbala, it is discussed in our majalis, right? Muharram is very, very important time for us. It defines who we are, really. And if you have observed carefully, or you do observe carefully, you will notice there are three parts of the whole story of Karbala. A majlis it covers these three things. Any majlis, any zikr of Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam and Sayyid al-Shuhada, it covers these three things. One is the tragedy. The tragedy itself. And the grief associated with that tragedy. The loss, the feeling losing something so valuable, and the feeling for the sympathy, empathy for the people who suffered. That's one thing. Second thing is the courage and shuja'at of Imam Hussein and his companions and his family members during Karbala and after Karbala, to Kufa and Sham, So there is shuja'at. And the third aspect is the content, the message. The sermons of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Hazrat Zainab Kubra salamullah alayha, Hazrat Sayyidu Sajjad alayhi salam, and other members of the family, the sermons of the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but particularly the sermons and message of Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salam. Starting from Medina all the way to Karbala, where he explained in his sermons, in his letters, in his statements, in response to questions people asked, the purpose behind his uprising. Now, just consider these three things. We have the gham, the tragedy. We have the shuja'at, bravery, bahadri. And we have the message in the form of sermons and ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this majlis to have a psychological impact on the person, you have to arrange these three things in an order. You know? Now, if you arrange in one order, it has one impact on the person. If you arrange in the reverse order, it has the opposite impact on the person who listens. Mind these words. Think about it later on. Okay? See, if the purpose is to cause grief, masa'ib, make people sad and cry, if that is the sole purpose of the majlis, right? Think about this. Now, if people are planning to have majalis, people are saying, okay, I'll be good tonight, this is the first of Muharram, I want to go. There's a lot of energy, energy there. People want to go. Now, the energy goes, people go to the majlis, they listen to the majlis, and they cry a lot, and they feel better, somehow. Feel they have done something. So the energy is released, and they come back home, feeling better. Isn't that so? So the object is grief. So what happens, what does the speaker do to accomplish this? Now he may not be really deceiving anyone. He may not know what he is doing or she may not know what he is doing, but this is what actually happening, right? He's arranging the order of the things in such a way to cause more grief for the people. For the sake of grief. For the sake of shedding tears and crying and all that, right? So what the speaker does, or maybe doing, not knowing, but doing it, is to talk as little as possible about the shuja'at of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And more about what happened to him, what was done to him, what did the enemies do, or they butchered, they killed, they massacred, they deprived them of water, they took away this, chadar, this. Oh, I mentioned that. Of course, any human being will cry about that. We hear about anything like that, you'll cry about it, right? And the message of Imam Hussain, minimally. Don't mention what he said, or say something that would go in line with this grief content. See, Imam Hussain was so Muslim, Imam Hussain was so Muslim, his ashab was so Muslim, family was so Muslim. And you just arrange these in this order, and you will have an excellent presentation that will provide as much rikkat as you can imagine. Got my point? Now, if the goal is not this, if the goal is a call to action, there's something to be done about this today, because Karbala is alive today, because the same thing is going on today, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam didn't die so that we will go to Jannah for free. Rather, he gave his life because for every Muslim to realize he has a duty in every given situation, just like Hussain alayhi salam. So he sees that something wrong going on with Shariat, with Muslims, with Islam, he will raise his voice and not worry about himself or his family. Now, if the goal is a call to action, then you will rearrange this. Sequence in which this thing is presented is different. You will say, okay, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, his companions, they gave their life. He was Mazloom. But what kind of a Mazloom was he? He was a Mazloom, he was thirsty for 3 days and no one fought like him. And you will talk about how Imam Hussain alayhi salam alone, he came against those 30,000 people, attacked the Maimana and they ran away. He attacked the Maisara, they ran away. And he reached the river of Euphrates and he took water in his hand. So he captured the river. And And then the slogan was, someone cried out, "Oh, Hussein, your haram is being attacked." Hussein al-Islam left the water and came back. And Hussein al-Islam was no match for his bravery. And you quote what enemies said about Hussein al-Islam, that I never saw a person in so much distress, surrounded by enemies, deprived of water, losing his companions, his family members, and is still displaying such bravery. It's not unparalleled in history. And you will, just as I'm mentioning this, the impact of this, the psychological impact of this is totally different from the other situation that I was mentioning earlier, right? So the grief is only a vehicle. Maslumiyat is only an instrument, a way to present two things. The bravery of Hussein alayhi salam and the message of Sayyid al-Shuhada, where he said, "Hayhata minnat dillah. Hayhata minnat dillah. We will never accept humiliation." And his message is like that, you know. He turned away from dunya. His eyes were on akhirat. Ka'anna dunya lam takun, wa ka'anna al-akhirata, you know, lam tazal, lam yazal. He said, it is as if his last letter that he wrote, one line message. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ka'anna dunya lam takun. It is as if the dunya never existed for me. Wa ka'anna al-akhirata lam tazal. And the akhirat never ceased to exist for me. It is only akhirat I see, and I do not see dunya at all. You will mention this message and you will see what it does to the listener. It's a totally different experience for anyone. With this you can just so easily imagine and visualize how easily Karbala can be distorted. The message of Ashura can be distorted. Or how easily, but with some planning, it can be also used to call people to action. To rise up, to get organized, to be united, accept leadership, and to support the leadership, and to support Islam, and to raise your voice, and not worry about dunya and material goals of this life, and keep your eyes on akhirat. And then you will see all the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the dua I mentioned, the Holy Prophet said, "Wallah, make barakat in the shahadat of Hussein." That means the numbers of the name of Hussein will shine. The followers of Hussein, if they are Husseinis, they will always grow in numbers. Inshallah, will always establish justice on earth. They'll be barakat. But the followers of Hussein have to be like Hussein. And that's when they understand Hussein as he was. And these three elements of his story must be mentioned in the right way. So for people to know that, okay, this is what he intended to do, this is how he did it, right? And the shock it created for the Ummah, one should feel that shock today. It should be a tragedy felt very deeply, but in a way that makes us, so if you listen to Karbala like this, what happened, or situation, the same situation I'm telling you. Now you say, okay, now, this is first of Muharram today. Then we go to a majlis, and you go and the speaker is presenting the case of Imam Hussein al-Islam, and the story of Imam Hussein al-Islam. When you listen to a description of his bravery and shuja'at and his message, and you cry for Imam Hussein al-Islam, when you get up, you are full of energy. You want to do something about this, right? You didn't come to this kind of majlis for your own sake. You came here for Imam Hussein al-Islam. Now you care about Islam. Now you say, okay, now this energy that Imam Hussein has given me today, I must utilize this energy. I must use this energy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I live or die should not matter. What's important is that the mission of Imam Hussein al-Islam should be safeguarded. And the people should be invited to that. And this is the challenge. The challenge this person is ready to face with this is energy and motivation. He wants to do something about that. And this is a positive way of observing Ashura. Well, with this I will conclude this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this ibadah. Inshallah, this event will be full of barakat for all of us. Inshallah.